So lots of people are choosing, the last couple of years, have chosen a word that they want to focus on in the new year. So I think it's a really good exercise. Lots of people are thinking, you know, there's one thing that I want to, you know, to really grow in or be encouraged by or be supported by. So for me, in 2019, this is the word. And this is something I've been thinking about quite a bit over the last several months in particular. And I hope by extension that we as a congregation will have this concept abiding in Christ, that we will have this concept and we will put it front and center for everything that we do this year. The concept we're going to look at this morning really is the underpinnings of virtually everything we do here at Durham Bible Church. Learning to grow and abide in Christ, and more specifically, our focus on discipleship, personal discipleship. This is the key. Learning what it means to abide in Christ, knowing that He abides in us. And I love what Monaco prayed. Is He comfortable? You know, Paul talks about Christ making His home in our hearts, being at home in our hearts. Is He comfortable in us by our conduct and so forth? But this is a personal application for each of us, abiding in Christ. There's a lot that we do corporately. There's a lot that we do in small groups. There's a lot that we do with other people. This is not that. I mean, it's a part of that. This is Colin and Jesus. This is each and every one of us with Christ. These are personal questions, personal determinations, personal practices that we want to develop. So abiding in Christ, I would say that abiding in Christ, learning what that really means, is the antidote to so much of what we get wrong. It is so much, we tend naturally to want to do things myself. By myself. Right? So if we fly, this slide is up. So these are the things that we tend to do. They're very natural for us. They come easily. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to power through this. I'm going to do it. When Ashley was our oldest was really little, she had this little thing where she would say, "My do it." You know, we would try. I mean, offering a toddler help is, you know, like pinning jello to a wall. So, but she's like, "My do it. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to do it." We tend to be that way. We tend to want to do things ourselves. We want to do it our way. We have it planned out. We have the map. Thank you very much. I will do this. Myself, my way. With my wisdom. I got it all figured out. I'm going to do it. And probably the worst of them all is my strength. Because what we're going to see is actually our strength, our wisdom counts for nothing. But it's Christ living His life through each of us. And the beautiful focus that we're going to look at this morning, when Jesus, we'll read the passage in just a moment, but when Jesus speaks to His disciples, He's not talking about a little fruit. You'll see a phrase that pops up in chapter 15 often, much fruit. That is the Christian life. Much fruit. So in 1861, I want to read you this quote. 1861, Charles Spurgeon preached his first sermon in London. March 24th, 1861. I want you to listen to what he says, because it's really good. It's about a paragraph. He said, and bear in mind, he was like early 20s. "I would propose, and oh, may the Lord grant us grace to carry out that proposition from which no Christian can dissent, I would propose that the subject of the ministry of this house, as long as this platform shall stand, and as long as this house shall be frequented by worshipers, shall be the person of Jesus Christ. That's a young man standing up saying, this is going to be the subject matter in the Lord's house. This will be the basis of my preaching and of the ministries that take place here in this place. And he goes on, I'm never ashamed to avow myself a Calvinist, although I claim to be rather a Calvinist according to Calvin, and he goes on a little bit on that. I do not hesitate to take the name Baptist. He was a Baptist. You have there, pointing to the baptistry, substantial evidence that I am not ashamed of the ordinance of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if I am asked to say what is my creed, I must reply, it is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. My predecessor, Dr. Gill, has left a body of divinity admirable and excellent in its way, but the body of divinity to which I would pin and bind myself forever, God helping me, is not his system of divinity or any other human treatise, but Christ Jesus, who is the sum and the substance of the gospel, who is in himself all theology, the incarnation of every precious truth, the all-glorious personal embodiment of the way, the truth, and the life. So it's Christ, Christ. So this morning we're going to look at our relationship to him in bearing fruit. John chapter 15, we're going to read the verses 4 and 5. This morning. Jesus speaking. And he's using the imagery of a vine, which was very, very well known, particularly to them at the time. Very agrarian culture. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. I'm going to read that again. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, these are very arresting words, and yet they're incredibly life-giving and beautiful words for each of us. There is the recognition that there is nothing that we can do in the kingdom apart from Christ. There are things we can do, but those things which have lasting value, those things which are in keeping with what he wants done, the Father's heart, it's Christ in us, and it's our proximity to him. This word abide, it means stay. Remain. So Christ is here, let's say. We're not off doing our own thing. This is a question for his followers, for believers on bearing fruit. This is what we're looking at. This is the focus of this. So if Christ is here, and I'm not walking closely with him, but I'm over here, I'm distracted. Or I think I have better plans, thank you. I'm not going to be able to do what only he can do through me. It's that very simple and yet profound concept. Remain, stay. And there's a sense of the quality of the interaction as well. It's not just stay and do your own thing. It's stay and be meaningfully connected with me. drawing your strength from me, drawing your direction from me. And really what he's after is moment by moment. We don't check in once a week. Been to church, I'm good. No. It's personal. It's Colin and Christ walking with him, being in close proximity to him and having meaningful interaction, that is being meaningfully engaged with him. So let's look at that very first question. Bearing fruit. This should be about the most important question that we ask ourselves as believers. Are we bearing fruit? Is there evidence to show that I'm a Christian? Am I living that out? Or honestly, am I squandering my time? Am I squandering that relationship with him? I want you guys to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll flash it up as well, but 2 Peter chapter 1. This is one of my mom's favorite verses, because it speaks about our relationship with God and what that means. And I meant to say earlier, as you're turning there, I realize I'm not going to cover everything this morning. This is my goal this morning, to fully put this on the map, to fully put it on your radar. And throughout the year, we'll come back and we'll develop this and we'll look at this, because particularly as we get discipleship off the ground, this is key. So I'm putting this out there for your consideration, and I encourage you, do a word study on the word abide in the New Testament. You know, do your own background study. But listen what Peter has to say. Speaking of God, verse 3 of chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us, watch this, all things that pertain to life and godliness. God's power, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Yes, we absolutely need to fellowship with other believers and serve and so on and so forth. But you need to know that in Christ, you are not inadequate, because it's Christ living through you. The question is, how are you tending to that relationship? Are you wandering? Are you here? Are you walking away in anger? Or are you here? Because proximity to him is what we need. Now, all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and goodness. Look at what God has called us to. How could we not abide in Christ? How could we not have Christ feel at home in us? Look at what he's called us to. Drop down to verse 8. This is something I prayed for my kids for like the last 20 years. If these things are yours and are increasing, referencing the verse or two before that, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I don't want it said about Colin that Colin was unfruitful, that Colin was ineffective. This should be our heart cry, that we would, by the power of the Spirit inside of us, that we would be bearing fruit for him. And he's not just talking about skimping by. A little here or a little there. Much fruit. And here's where I need to say this. We can sometimes excuse ourselves based on the season of life we're in. Without question, there are seasons in our lives which can only be described as the valley. We understand that. But here's the beauty. If it's Christ living himself through you, it's actually not about you. We can bear fruit even when we would think that is not humanly possible. That's what it means to abide in Christ, because it's his power and not ours. May I suggest to you a primary route, or a primary route, if you will, to abiding in Christ. This one's probably not going to shock you, but it's contained right here between Genesis and Revelation, right? This living word that we have is our primary way to abide in Christ. This is relational. This is me and him. You know, at Durwood, we have lots of group Bible studies. We have, ways that we can study and reflect and learn together. I will say this, I have never once regretted time that I have set aside to really dive in right here. I've never, not once, ever. These are the living words of God, and this is where we learn so much about him, and we develop that closeness. I want you guys to look at Psalm chapter 1, basically right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm chapter 1. I have hit on this a number of times, so I won't go into great depth. Psalm chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. So, this individual who has a life course set out for him is blessed. You know what blessed means? It means happy. He's blessed. Verse 2. But his delight, contrary to the path that he's avoiding, this is where his delight is. In the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. If we can take that and build our life on this, we do well. His delight, when I delight in something, you don't have to force me to go there. You don't have to talk me into it. You don't have to ask 18 times in a row to get me there. It's a delight. And remember, the law that he's talking about, and he's not talking about the New Testament here. It's basically the first five books of the Bible. That was David's delight. But notice how he engages. How he engages the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night. Whenever there's a chance, this is where he is. And he's not reading it passively, or, you know, a cup of coffee in hand and scrolling through, you know, today's news and quick. No, he is meditating on it. He is focused. He is right here. And he's allowing it to sink in deep, not here only, but here as well. Now, you know why I love this? Because many of us, again, seasons, we can't always schedule, perhaps, a set time during the day. Right? We have six kids. So, especially when you're younger, the idea of a routine, sometimes, I mean, that just goes out the window really quick. But this is what I love here. He says he meditates day and night. Whenever he can, that's where he is. And the fruit is seen in verse 3. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. This is the ministry of the word in his life. Since you're in Psalm 1, flip over to verse to chapter 19, what Jeff read a little earlier on. I can, and I have, done an entire message just on these few verses. Let's look again in verse 7. Look at how God's word is described. The law of the Lord is perfect. And different translations will render it, you know, maybe something slightly different. The testimony, drop down, of the Lord is sure. You can bank on it. The precepts, verse 8, of the Lord are right. The fear of the Lord is clean. End of verse 9, the rules of the Lord are true. Perfect, sure, right, clean, and true. That's what I want feeding my mind. That's the word of God. Now let's go back and look at what it does. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, making wise the simple. Yeah, you think you're all that. Let me bring you down a notch or two. Rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes, enduring forever, righteous altogether. Do we not need that in our lives? Isn't that what we look for and long for? For my soul to be revived, to rejoice my heart? When was the last time here you rejoiced? It rejoices the heart. It endures forever and is completely righteous. The truth here does not have a shelf life. The truth that is here, it says it endures forever. The fear of the Lord, it goes on forever and ever. And so I know when I'm building my life on God's truth, it's not something that's contrary to what we see today. It's not going to go out of date. So here's my thing. As we walk with Christ, as we stay, as we remain, as we abide with Him, individually, make this the meeting place with Him. Make this the meeting place with Him. I can tell you personal experience, the revelations I've received, the truth I've received, the most comforting nuggets that I have ever received have always been in the context of intentionally studying, meditating on God's word. It always has a beautiful return. Since you're in Psalms, let's do one more. Psalm 119. No, we're not going to do the whole thing, George. Psalm 119. Sorry to disappoint. I want you to look at verses 129 beginning. I don't have a slide for these. Verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Do you ever feel that you are just not as spiritual as other people or wise as other people? Can I tell you that God's word invites you to come? It gives understanding to the simple. Verse 131. I open my mouth and I pant because I long for your commandments. Pray that this expectation and desire would grow within each of us. That sense of, man, I just want more of it. That's how we abide in Christ. As we prayerfully meet with him in his word, it is such a great place for us to grow. Now, I know this time of year, it's common to start a Bible reading plan, and in the past, we've really got behind that. That's wonderful. But here's the catch. As with New Year's resolutions, you might know that the common endpoint for the average New Year's resolution is February 12th. So give it, no, seriously, like about a month and a half. And so I love the idea of embarking on a reading plan to read through the Bible, to read through the New Testament, to read, you know, whatever. However, just be careful, because there will be times where you struggle and you might miss or this or that. And then you can get so discouraged that you don't want that. You also don't want it to become an idol, right? You got to do it. So you do it, but you're not really doing it, right? So my simple encouragement is, whatever works for you, just meet him here. Lots of Bible plans out there that you can Google easily, Bible Gateway, and find those out. The third thing I want to highlight this morning in this concept of abiding in Christ is found in verse 5. The key truth for us to remember in bearing fruit for Christ is we can't do it by ourselves. You cannot simultaneously be wandering from him or distant with him or to him or obviously sinning against him and expect to bear fruit. It doesn't work that way. The beautiful thing is, it's Christ in me living his life through me. Look at what he says, John 15, the end of verse 5. It's good to see these things multiple times. The end of verse 5, for apart from me, you can do nothing. The question is, do we believe that? We don't want to get into a routine where we just do church on autopilot. Everything that we do, we want to be connected to Christ, flowing from our relationship with him, so we're serving in his strength. And the beautiful thing is, the temptations that often beset us, those are the ones we begin to conquer through Christ. Those times where we just cannot imagine loving that person well, I need Christ to do that through me. And that's really what he's getting at here. When you are connected to me, I'm the vine, you're the branch. It literally means little vine branchlet. That's what you guys are. Take the branchlet away from the vine, not a whole lot of good is going to happen. You must remain connected. So give attention this year to your walk with Christ. So many things can crowd out your focus, your walk with him. Even good things can do that. But make sure that first and foremost, you are abiding relationally with your Savior. That is where you are. And from him, you have the strength to do what he's calling you to do. And here's the beautiful part. You will bear fruit. Much fruit. This is the Christian life that Christ has in mind. Me living through you and you joyfully serving me, bearing fruit that you never could have done by yourself. I want you to look at Romans chapter 15. We're almost done here. Romans chapter 15. verse 13. This is my prayer for us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. It is not God's will that we just go through life with a moan and a groan. When my grandparents would talk about the revival that took place in Central Africa when they were missionaries, it started with two people. One was a Congolese woman, and one was a missionary from Holland, I think. And basically, the two of them came to the end of themselves. And the one in particular, which is the one I love the most, is this European guy. He was a maintenance guy. That was his role. And the truth is, you know what he did day in and day out? He complained. As my grandfather would say, with a moan and a groan, all the work he had to do. Look at me. You know, I'm away from home, away from my creature comforts, and wow, all right, I'll get that done, hopefully by tomorrow. And it was, why are you bringing that? But the Lord got a hold of him, and he lit on fire, and he began to draw from the strength of Christ in him, and he became a huge blessing to the Congolese there. But that's what we want. Romans 15:13 is to be growing together and living by the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, abide. Put that on your radar. Begin thinking about it if you haven't already. Study it. Look through it. You'll hear me and other people this year reference it and speak to it and develop this theme, because that's what matters. It is the antidote to burnout. It is what we need to truly love other people well, because some people are easy to love and many are not. We need Christ in us. We don't want to be far from him. We want to be close to him. And that means we have to prioritize time with him, to be empowered by him, to have that relationship with him, so that everything we do flows out from there. So let's close out in a word of prayer. I just want to highlight that this evening, 5 p.m., right here, Center Court, we'll have a time of prayer. Anyone is invited. It's during youth group. So we'll pray from 5 to 6. Tim will lead us in some worship as well, just to tune our hearts and get us to that place where we can lift up the needs that we mutually have together. That's from 5 to 6 this evening. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to begin this year with each of us asking ourselves the question, have I been abiding in Christ? 2018 has come to an end, and it's always good, I think, the beginning of a year to kind of take stock of where we are. Has my Christian activity been more driven by my own strength, kind of running on empty because I know certain things need to get done? Or in general, am I doing things by my own strength versus Christ living in me? I imagine that each of us, we have challenges before us. Are we going to approach those with my strength or with his strength? Even the very direction of our lives, is it the Lord who is leading us, or am I calling the shot? Am I abiding in him? It's a beautiful place to be. It is the place of strength. It is the place of encouragement. It is a place of perspective. When you see and you experience the beauty of fellowship with him, and you begin to, if it's even possible, receive more of his love for you, you grow in that. That confidence that comes in knowing and believing and experiencing the fact that God really, truly does love me. I'm not the person that God is just slipping in, you know, to heaven on the side because, well, you know, whatever. But no. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Abide. Stay. Remain. Engage. You need to know that if you have never put your trust in Christ as your Savior, this is something you can't do yet. Because you don't know Him. What we're talking about this morning is a relationship, not, as they say, religion, not a system. The Bible is so clear in speaking to the reality of our own sin, which separates us from God, and the love and the holiness that God has. The Bible says that God sent His only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Have you ever come to that place where you bow the knee before Him? You stop trying to earn your salvation or be right with God through your efforts, through your good deeds, through your church attendance. But you humble yourself to realize that He has a gift for you that you can't earn yourself. Have you ever come to that place where you put your trust fully, your confidence in Jesus Christ to save you? If you haven't, the Bible says today is the day of your salvation. Call on Him. Trust Him. It doesn't cost you anything. It's all been done. And that is the gateway on this side of glory to a life that is full of life in the midst of the storm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank You so much for Your abiding presence. Thank You for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus, who suffered and died for us. We recognize fully that He is the vine, You are the vine dresser, and we're the branches. Help us to walk closely with You. Help us to give attention to our walk, to remain, to stay close to You, to fellowship with You, and to serve from overflow. Because we know that that is what You want for us. To the end that we need to repent and make adjustments, help us to do that now. To be determined to walk with You closely. It is the best place to be. I pray not only today, but over this year, that You would give us a greater understanding of what it means to abide in Christ. That would be true of us. That we would grow in our understanding of it and certainly in our execution of it. All of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.